Scripture says that the entrance of your word gives light and it gives understanding. We ask, oh God, that even as we look into your word now, that your word will lighten up our lives in Jesus' name. We pray, oh God, for insight, a specific word for every single one of us here that will not leave here the same in the mighty name of Jesus. Let it be so, oh God, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. A few weeks ago, we were talking about excellence. And we said what excellence is. We tried to look at so many things. And we said that if we were to start, we could spend the whole day listing out what excellence is. I'd just like to quickly remind us of a definition for excellence. It says to surpass or to be outstandingly proficient in all ways and to be beyond expectations and standards. So when we talk about excellence, we're saying it's not just being there. To surpass standards, to be proficient, to be outstandingly proficient, going the extra mile in everything, in all ways. Not just being one of the numbers. And we believe that we're a church called to excellence. Now, what that says is that in all ways, it's not that you should strive for excellence in some things. So academically, you strive for excellence, but you ignore or you neglect your health. That's not the mark of an excellent person. Business-wise, you strive for excellence, but you neglect or you pay less attention to your spiritual life. That's not the mark of excellence. We see some folks that when it comes to work, when it comes to school, in fact, they're the role model. Some students are the best, you know, the teachers, they're the pin-up, you know, the poster kids. Some of us at work were the poster employees. Then everybody, they look around, they're like, man, you know what? You want the perfect employee, look at her over there. But if we're the perfect employees, are we also the perfect Christian? And the flip side is true. Some of us, when it comes to the things of God, we are, you know, truly, like those Christians in Antioch, we are Christ-like. Everything about Christ, they see in us. But then when it comes to our engagement with the world, with the outside world, not the Christian, not the church, we're something else. That's not the mark of an excellent Christian. So if you're good in church and people outside see you, and they're like, man, this guy is mean. This lady is, you know, she's just... I always say that there's a thin line between virtue and vice. It's so easy for your virtue to become a vice, such that, you know, your principles that you hold dear, that you adhere to, could cause other people to fall, could be a source of pain to others, depending on how you execute those principles. Excellence is all around. Praise the Lord. This morning, briefly, I'm going to talk about excellence through faith. Excellence through faith. Why excellence through faith? Actually, I believe that the Holy Spirit is trying to pass the message across to us. I was looking at the bulletin this morning, and I was surprised to see it says, faith upholds a Christian under all trials. I'm not sure why the publication team decided to put that. On Friday, we had a prayer meeting, and believe you me, it was deep. It was deep, it was very reflective, and I could see faith underscoring what was being said on that day. And I was saying to myself, this sister that is sharing with us, she's pretty much preaching my message for Sunday. But hey, God lets us, you know, hear some things over and over and over again because he wants to reinforce. There's a message he's passing across to us. A few weeks ago, I was talking to a gentleman at the city center. Now, this guy, he'll be in his early 60s, a Caucasian gentleman. And he was like, that he's noticed that nowadays, as Christians, the nature of the messages we preach has totally changed. That we talk less about faith, less about prayer, less about heavenly focused messages, and that we talk more about the present lifestyle. We talk more about earthly orientated messages. We talk more about this present life, what we need to do well, what we need to excel, what we need to, you know, to keep on keeping on in this present life. And that got me thinking. How many people know life coaches? You've read about life coaches. Yeah? You know, I was reflecting and I said to myself, you know that so many preachers nowadays tag themselves as pastor and life coach. I'm not sure if anyone's ever noticed that. And I think it's becoming increasingly so that a lot of our pastors are life coaches. They're motivational speakers, and that's how they actually present themselves like that. I read an article, and the person who wrote it said, I need my pastor to be my pastor, not a life coach. But what are these life coaches doing? It's, you know, some of them are motivational speakers. They're trying to, you know, get you to be the best you can be, to excel, to do things. But is that the core message? And I think truly what that man said, there is a lot of truth in it. We are more focused now on let's live well. Let's do something so that God will prosper us. I don't want to talk about prosperity message, but let's do some things so that, you know, in our job, things will work properly, so that we can get the house we want, so that we can get the degree we want. Let us serve God in a way that when we give our all to him, he will give himself to us. He will open doors for us. He will make things happen for us. Thank God for the message we heard last week about treasures and where we're laying up our treasures, where we put in our treasures. All those things, they will come, they will pass away. Are we laying up our treasures in heaven? Growing up as a young boy, actually, this got me reflecting, and I was thinking about the kind of people I listened to growing up. And the three names that came readily to mind were Kenneth Hagin, Frederick Casey Price, and someone whose books I actually read quite a few, Watchman Nee. Now, I thought about all those guys, Casey Price, Hagen Watchman Nee, and the core of their messages, whether by audio, TV, the books, it wasn't so much about here and now. It was faith infused. It was about the coming kingdom. It was about where we're heading to. I'm laughing because a song came to my mind, and when we sing it, people normally say that they're not ready to die. This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open doors. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? I have a loving Father. Now, it shows how long I sang that song. But point, we sing that song and you're thinking, this world is not my home. Heaven. I'm not ready to die yet. No, I still need to enjoy this world. And that has become so much of our focus for many of us. We've lost a bit of that heavenly focus. I think it's high time we start challenging ourselves. The Bible says that we should seek first God's kingdom and its righteousness. It says everything else, every other thing will come. Every other thing will be added. If we prioritize God, if we prioritize the kingdom of God, the righteousness that is associated with the kingdom of God, every other thing will come, will be added. Now, it doesn't mean that we should do it because we want everything else to be added. But when we seek God and His kingdom, when we focus on God and His kingdom, everything else will come. Hand to heart, I can boldly say that because I know God has been doing it in my life. And that is why I encourage us, let us prioritize God. Let us put Him first. I think Casey Price, his ministry is Ever Increasing Faith Ministries. You know, as a kid growing up, some of us might remember this. You know, nowadays you switch on the TV. In fact, if you've got Sky, I'm sure there are over almost 1,000 channels that you can watch. And you flick from one to the other. As one is finishing, you're jumping to a new program. I used to listen a lot to Casey Price. The reason I was listening, not because I was born again. I grew up in church. But it was because there were limited channels. And then even then, guys, do you remember when there were maybe like just 3-4 hours of TV every day? No, it's not by choice. If you wake up in the morning and you switch on your TV, all you hear is doo. And then you wait till evening when the programs will start. And then towards the, I think there was time it was around like 10, 11. Na, 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 na. That means TV has finished for the day. So you don't have a choice. Maybe you have a window of 4-5 hours. To watch TV, and that's it. And one of the programs they used to show a lot was Ever Increasing Faith. I think it was LTV that used to do it or something like that. There are two verses that kind of stuck with me. Two verses that really stuck with me. The first one, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And if I remember correctly, The other one is in Mark 11:24. It says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I think after every message, I think Casey Price used to say this, that whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you will have them and you shall have them. And those two verses are fundamental when it comes to faith. It says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Whatever thing you ask for when you believe, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Praise the Lord. We're seeing excellence through faith. Excellence through faith. You know that lovely chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. The love chapter. I was reflecting on it and I thought to myself, the entire chapter tells us that, you know, if we're this and we have not love, if we're this and we have not love, without love, we're nothing. But then that chapter now ends and says that there are three things. Faith, hope, love. Three things that abide. Faith, hope, and love. Yes, it says the greatest is love. But I asked myself, why did the writer, why did Paul say a lot about love and then end it by saying that three things abide? Some versions say three things remain forever. Faith, hope, and love. This is the way I see it. Even though love is the greatest, faith and hope are intricately tied to love. So you cannot truly, genuinely love without faith, without hope. Those three things remain forever. They work together, faith, hope, and love. It says the greatest is love. But you cannot do without one or the other. You cannot do without faith. You cannot do without hope. It says we walk by faith, not by sight. What does it mean to walk by faith, not by sight? What is our focus? I had a look at the message, and I like the way the message put that passage. It says, the Spirit of God whets our appetites. God's Spirit whets our appetites by giving us a taste of what's ahead. I'm paraphrasing. It says that the Spirit of God whets our appetites by giving us a taste of what's ahead. He puts a little of heaven in our hearts so that we'll never settle for less. The Spirit of God whets our appetites by giving us a taste of what's ahead. He puts a little of heaven in our hearts so that we'll never settle for less. Then it goes on to say that it's what we trust in but don't yet see that keeps us going. It's what we trust in but don't yet see that keeps us going. So we walk by faith, not by sight. What we trust in but we don't yet see that keeps us going. But what is that thing that we trust in and are not seeing? He said that the Holy Spirit whets our appetite by putting a little of heaven in our hearts, by revealing a picture, by painting a picture for us. So we see a greater glory. We see something yet to come that is better than what we see now, what we have around us. And that is what keeps us going. Hope. Hope that beyond the here and now, there's something better. Praise the Lord. On Friday, we prayed about persecuted Christians. We prayed for Christians that are suffering. And there was a clip that someone sent to me recently, and I looked at that clip again. That clip was talking about the church in China. Now, if there's persecution, believe you me, the Chinese church is persecuted. And this gentleman was talking about how he went to train some ministers in China. Now, he went to train these ministers in China. They were doing 8 to 5. Said some of them traveled maybe like 13 hours by train or something to come to the venue, to be there all day. I can't remember how many people he said there were there, maybe 20 plus or thereabouts. And he said of those 20, over 50% of them had been to prison. They were leading churches. The churches they were leading were more than 20 million, those people in the congregation that it was training. More than 20 million members that they were leaders for. Over 50% of them had been to prison. When they were about to share the word, he brought some Bibles, gave them some Bibles. One of the ladies that he gave a Bible gave hers to someone else. When he said, let's open to wherever, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, just for the sake. The lady, I think it was actually 2 Timothy or something like that. The lady recited the old chapter. The lady recited the old chapter. Many of us, we struggle. Apart from John 3:16. Some people are laughing. At least we all know John 3:16 now. Right? Yes, we can boldly say John 3:16. Ah, my goodness. Someone did this. Don't get me started. Ah, John 3:16, even the unbeliever out there will tell you what John 3:16 is. But for many of us, beyond John 3:16, it is well. Actually, we all know it is well. Yes? This side of where is she from again? Is she the Syrophoenician woman or something like that? This woman recited an entire chapter. He now asked, I said, how come? She was like, oh, well, that, you know, in prison, you have a lot of time. You have a lot of time at your hands. So she was like, but it was like, do they allow you to have Bible in prison? Said, no, that people write on paper and bring it for them. So they might write an entire chapter, they bring it to them. And it was like, but won't they seize that? He said, well, that's why we have to memorize it. Because if they see it, they collect it. So if someone writes for us, they bring it, we learn it, and then we know it. And they were reciting chapters like that. He said that when they finished the program, she asked that he should pray for them. He's an American. That he should pray for them, that they can be like the church in America. And he said, I will not do that. Why did he say he would not do that? He said, in America, people sit on comfortable chairs. If they spend more than 45 minutes, it's a problem. If the hall is not air conditioned, it's a problem. They don't know the word. Any little thing, they complain. But here were people that came, 13 hours drive, were willing to sit on hardwood on the floor to learn the word. They had faith. They had strong faith. I think sometimes in the West, we look at the persecuted Christians and we feel sorry for them. think sometimes we need to reorientate our minds. Maybe we need to be feeling sorry for ourselves. These guys, they've got their relationship with God, their faith in God, in spite of what they're going through, so strong. Someone was saying yesterday that when last did we as Christians, okay, someone's got a headache, I'm going to pray for that headache to go. Because of the comfort, the lifestyle we have, we're less dependent on God. The system is such that the system pretty much caters for everything. What do you need? You don't have a job. The system will give you some money to keep you going. A young child decides to leave home. The system will give them a room, a house, will accommodate them. A 13-year-old decides to get pregnant. The system will sort them out. We become so dependent on the system that we forget about God. We neglect God. What is faith? The writer of Hebrews said that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what are we putting our trust in? It says we're walking by faith, not by sight. So if you're walking by faith, that means you're seeing certain things that you're hoping for that is yet to manifest. You're looking beyond your here and now. You're looking beyond your present circumstances. You're looking beyond what you've got going for you. If you've got everything going for you, you still need faith. Because, all right, I'll come back to that. Praise the Lord. So that in walking by faith, we put our trust in the unseen. And this is what keeps us going. That's what should keep us going. The faith that is associated with excellence is exceeding faith. Remember what we said about excellence? Said it goes way beyond. He's been, you know, proficient in all ways. Exceeding faith. So we're saying that we need to be excellent through faith, and that we're talking about exceeding faith. Think Romans 12:3. Okay, you've got a message. Anyway, Romans 12:3 says that we shouldn't think of ourselves more highly than we should, but that we should soberly think of ourselves as God has dealt with each and every one of us a measure of faith. Is there anyone that can have faith? No. We can all have faith. It says God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. But when we're talking about a measure of faith, does then that mean that we can quantify faith? Does it mean that faith, there are different amounts of faith? What do we think? Some say yes, some say no. A measure of faith. Praise the Lord. When the apostles asked Jesus to increase their faith, Luke 17:5-6, what was his response? They asked him, they were like, increase our faith. And he responded, he said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be put from your roots and be thou planted in the sea, and it would obey you. A mustard seed, I think I'm doing my hand like this and squinting. I think a mustard seed, you can barely see it. It's like a speck. They asked him, they said, increase our faith. And he said, if you have faith that's like a mustard seed. How many people have seen mustard seed before? All right, so some of you know what I'm talking about. It's barely nothing. You can barely see it. So he said, if you have something that is so tiny, if you have faith like that, that you'll say to a tree, be uprooted and put in the sea. You know, I'm one of those people that take what Jesus says literally. So I believe that when he said, you can say to a tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, that he meant you can say to a tree, be uprooted and planted in this tree. Not that you can say to the trees in your life, you can say to the mountains in your life, yes. So both figuratively and literally, we see it happen. That's faith. And he said, all you need is mustard seed faith. Praise the Lord. As small as a grain of mustard. So when we're talking about measure of faith, they said increase our faith. So if you have a little faith, you do so much. You do so much. I say that your measure of faith is not so much the amount of faith that you have, but the amount of faith that you're able to exercise. So it's not the amount of faith that you have, but the faith that you're exercising. So we say that, yes, God gave measures of faith to be exercised. It is when you exercise your faith that you can quantify. The more you exercise your faith, the more your faith grows. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How much are you willing to push out? God, give me faith. Give me, you know, big time faith. Give me exceeding faith. If God expands your body, your head, your spirit, your soul, everything, and powers faith and pumps and packs it, if you don't use it, it is nothing. It is not serving you. It does not accomplish anything. I believe God will do something for me. Praise the Lord. One of the books I love so much in the Bible, James, when he talks about faith and works. God, give me a job. God, give me a job. You don't brush up your CV. You don't check out adverts. You're waiting for the job to come and meet you. Because God, you said you would do it. I think during Sunday school, someone was sharing about the story, one of the stories that was shared in the open heavens, about how two people were given a word that one said, you'll be a king. The other, they said, you'll amount to nothing. They both heard words. What did they do with the word they had? The one that they told would be a king just relaxed. In fact, I'm the crown prince. It will happen. Enjoy myself, live long, easy life. The one that they said would amount to nothing, decide, okay, you know what? Let me better myself. Let me work. Let me plant. Let me farm. The way the story went was that there was a famine that came to the land. Nobody had anything. Nobody had food. But the young man that everybody thought would amount to nothing, that was hardworking, had food to spare. He was selling to people. After a while, they were like, you know what? Become our king. James said that, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. I'll show you my faith through the things that I do. Faith has to be actioned. So if you're going to have exceeding faith, it's about exercising that faith, putting into practice what you believe. We hear this word. We hear faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. We hear. What do we do with what we hear? How do we exercise our faith? If we're going to increase our faith, if our measure of faith is going to grow, then we need to exercise it. Praise the Lord. By God's grace, we're going to continue on this topic. One person himself, Jesus Christ himself, exercised extraordinary faith. He exercised extraordinary faith. And we even see instances when he talked about people that he said they had great faith. By God's grace, we will explore the lives of these people. What did they do? What did they do that made Jesus Christ himself testify about them as having extraordinary faith? But for Jesus himself, we look at Mark 11. Now, I mentioned Mark 11, 24. But what preceded Jesus' statement? In Mark 11, verse 12, it says, now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, this was towards the end of Jesus Christ's ministry, he was hungry, and seen from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat from you ever again. It says, and his disciples heard it. That's a sermon for another day. You ask yourself, it says the fig tree had leaves, but it was not the season for figs. Yet, Jesus Christ had an expectation from that tree. Let's jump to verse 20. It says, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. You shall have them. Again, it says, say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. It could be figurative mountains, literally, it could be symbolic. But you can say to the mountain, the physical mountain, and that's what he said. Literally, say to the mountain, be moved and cast into the sea, and it will. But what were the key issues with exercising such faith? It says you believe when you pray. It says when you pray, not doubting in your heart. Not doubting in your heart. You believe what you are saying which means you need to say, you need to speak forth. What are you speaking for? You know, the words of our mouth are so powerful. They're so, so powerful. For those of you that are Nigerians, I pray that God will help you. I really mean that. I pray that God will help. Those folks, the things that come out of their mouth about their nation, they run the country down, and you wonder why the country is not doing well. And then they say, oh, they're not good for anything. Amen. Positive words. Positive words. What are you confessing with your mouth? We say that your measure of faith increases when you exercise the faith you have. So what are you professing? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. As a student, I knew that I'll be head and not tail. I believed it. I confessed it, that I'll be head and not tail. The one that scares me a bit is the one that, you know, students say that they have better understanding than their teachers. But yeah, thank God for Christ. As a teacher, I believe I will continue to have greater and greater understanding. But yeah, what do we confess? Truly, what do we say about ourselves? Oh, I can't do it. And you say you're trusting God for something. You pray, Lord, open doors. And then you're thinking, will God do this thing? That's doubt. And then even the way we talk with people, the things we say to people, I'm digressing. Humility. In the name of humility, I remember once sharing with the church about this notion of humility, fake humility. In the name of humility, we say some things and a sin is sin. In the name of humility, we bring ourselves down. We're trusting God for certain things. But they say, oh, no, I can't do that yet. Oh, I'm not ready. Oh, I'm not this, I'm not that. But you're trusting God to do it. But because you want people to see you or perceive you in a certain way, you start saying things that are contrary to the words, the prayers you've said. It says when you pray, you believe in your heart that God will do it, then you will have it. Praise the Lord. We're going to stop here today and continue from here, talking about excellence through faith. Having excellent faith, shall we rise to pray? Say, we walk by faith, not by sight. It's what we trust in, but that we don't yet see, that keeps us going. What do you trust in? Who do you trust in? What is keeping you going? How are you exercising your faith? How are you exercising your faith? So that your measure of faith is not so much the amount of faith that you have, but the amount of faith that you exercise. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. What are you asking for in the place of prayer? What are you asking God for in the place of prayer? Are you believing in your heart that you're receiving them? Because it says that if you believe in your heart that you'll receive them, then you'll have those things. What are you confessing with your mouth? It says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says, not just those things he thinks, those things he says will be done, then he will have whatever he says. So what are you saying? First thing is, what are you thinking? Secondly, what are you saying? Are you saying the right things? The things that you're praying for, are you thinking the right things? Are you saying the right things? For God to honor your word, we talked about Samuel, that God honored Samuel's word throughout his life. Not a jot of his word fell down. For God to honor your word, what are you thinking? What are you saying? How are you exercising your faith? In Jesus' name we pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you because you teach us, because you continually show us the way of the Father. That writer said that you give us a taste of the things that are ahead. You reveal heaven in our hearts so that we will not settle for less. I pray, Father God, for each and every one of us gathered here, that we will be heavenly focused. Your son Paul said that he forgets the things that are behind and presses forward towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That will be our confession. That will be our profession. That will be our act. That on a daily basis will press forwards towards the mark of the high calling in the mighty name of Jesus. That will not lay up treasures for ourselves on this earth, but that we'll lay up treasures in heaven. That we will seek you first, we will prioritize you, and as we do so, all other things will be added in the mighty name of Jesus. As we go into this new week, and even the last few days of the month of August, we ask, Father, that everything that we're trusting you for, that we're praying concerning, that as we exercise our faith, believing that we will have them, we shall have them in the name of Jesus. That testimonies will abound in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you all the praise, Father, for we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen in Jesus' name. And shall we share the grace in fellowship?